Hello and welcome to Archaeolexy, a working title, but one that we're going to stick with, where we look back at some of our favorite words that we've done while we're taking a short break in January of 2022, for anyone listening back to our listens back. Anyway, this time around, we're going back to episode 23, and Amy is going to tell us about ginger.
So, this is all a little bit incidental to the fact that the word I'm going to talk about today is ginger.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So we have ourselves two very, very wonderful ingredients that form the base of lots of dishes that I really love to eat.
The start of a fantastic Thai chicken dish of some sort.
Or pretty much any fantastic dish. Curry, yeah. Kimchi. There are garlic and ginger. You know, that things are going to be good when you start with garlic and ginger.
Absolutely.
So the reason that I got to ginger, the reason I found it was because I found myself in this slightly, don't know what word I'm going to look at. I thought, well, what about words that have come into English via Sanskrit? There's an interesting place to start. So I discovered that ginger is one of these words. Or is it?
Nice. Well crafted.
So Etym Online has to say this about ginger, the noun. Mid-14th century, it first appears, from Old English, gingifer, which, no offence ginger, but it's a much cooler word.
Yeah.
Or gingiber, same. From late Latin, gingiber. From Latin, zingiberi. From Greek, zingiberis.
Okay.
From Practic, which is a Middle English language, singabera. From Sanskrit, sringaveram. From sringam, horn, plus vera, body. So called from the shape of its root.
Right.
So according to Etym Online, horn root, horn body, is the kind of original place that we get this word ginger from. But this may be Sanskrit folk etymology. Now, you know, we love the folk etymology around these parts.
Love it.
So the definition on Etym Online goes on in an interesting way. For several reasons. First of all, it references a language that I've never heard of before that I assumed was an ancient, extinct, obsolete language, and it's not.
Oh.
The Dravidian language. So think Davidian and then put an R between the D and the A. Mm-hmm. Dravidian. So the Dravidian word that that produces the Malayam name for ginger, which is inshiver, is inshi, means root. So okay. It seems that the root has always been the important part of the plant,
right,
in terms of what do we call it? What is this thing? So, yeah, very interesting to find that it has come to us from Sanskrit and you know, via all these other languages. However, it makes sense that people in Asia, roughly speaking, are naming this thing because it certainly doesn't grow around these parts.
Yeah. That's true.
And, you know, when you consider how does a language come to influence both Sanskrit and English, spices are probably a pretty good, you know, there's a good chance that spices will form a part of that story somewhere along the line because of the incredible importance of spices,
yeah,
to not just language, but culture and geography and all different kinds of things.
Well, world economics.
If you ever want a massive, yeah, if you ever want a massive rabbit hole to Wikipedia yourself down, just, you know, take a look at spices. It's such an interesting place to go. So given that Etym Online says this may be Sanskrit folk etymology, I thought, well, okay, let's get ourselves to the big guns. What does the OED have to say about it? So etymologically, we have the word ginger comes to us from post-classical Latin gingiber. So same thing. Lots of different spellings and variations of gingiver or gingiber.
Okay.
Middle French, apologies for my terrible French translation, Korean translation. I think the French people out there might be a little bit more forgiving, but I have no idea.
Maybe.
Gingembre.
Okay.
G-I-N-G-E-M-B-R-E.
Okay.
And zingiberry. Now, I like zingiber
because
it sounds so zippy and wonderful. And in fact, the rhizome of the plant Zingiber officinale is the Oides' first definition for ginger. So the Latin has been kept in the botanical name for the plant. But I do feel a little bit, I feel a little bit cheated that we didn't get zinger rather than ginger.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, it's not how etymology works, is it? So having had a look, and OED basically says everything that Etym Online says in a slightly more formal way. It makes reference to the Dravidian potential root and the borrowing of that. It makes reference to the potential Sanskrit root and the fact that this may be an etymological sort of U-turn, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also opened up to me the vast range of uses that this word has been given, one of which I'm particularly interested in. So here are our definitions for the word ginger. We have, first of all, the rhizome of the plant, you know, the food stuff that we are enjoying so much.
Yeah.
Particularly with garlic.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of obsolete uses of ginger. So we have a post-modifying adjective, ginger obtained from a particular place. So ginger from Colam, Brazilian ginger, you know, various different places. So right. It seems that as a habit has kind of fallen out. We have other members of the Zingiber officinale family, which, you know, describes flowers rather than the root. So there are a few different references here that talk about the plant, the food, the root. However, we then get from 1779 a cock with reddish brown plumage, specifically one used for fighting. So red cocks are called gingers. And I wonder, I don't really know if this is the case, but I wonder if this perhaps then feeds into the notion that people with ginger hair are particularly fiery and feisty.
Yeah.
Now,
is there any indication? Well, just the thing that I'm curious about, and maybe you're getting to this, and if you are, just say, shut up and let me do my thing. But the thing that I've never quite understood is how ginger became synonymous with like a reddish orange, because that's not the color that ginger is.
Like, you are indeed treading on my toes a little bit, but okay, I will let you do it because I like you. No, carry on.
Well, that was just it. I was like, I hope that you have discovered something about this, because ginger, the ginger root, if you cook with it ever, is yellow. It's kind of a whitish pale yellow, as opposed to red and, you know.
So yeah, what the OED has to, no, not at all. What the OED has to say about this. So ginger, referring to the colour, whichever colour it is that you choose to be referring to. This is sense number 5 in the OED of the word ginger. And we have A, B and C. So first we have a person with reddish, yellow or light orange brown hair, typically characterised by pale skin and freckles. More generally, any person with reddish hair, frequently as a nickname. So the variations of words that are used to describe people with red hair, there's a topic that we could talk about that for a whole episode. I wasn't aware of this, but in the Antipodean states, they like to call people with red hair blue, bluey.
Really?
Yeah, now I know this because, this is Catherine's episode. Catherine is our friend. She lived with us in Korea. I hope she doesn't mind us talking about her on the internet. If she does, oops. But her maiden name was Jeans. And I remember her talking about the fact that this is particularly unfortunate for her brother because he has red hair. So he could have been blue jeans. And now as I'm telling the story, I find myself absolutely doubting everything that I'm saying. So please, if this is incorrect, Catherine or anybody else who's listening who knows how to correct me, you know that way when you're saying something that you know to be true and halfway through you just get an absolute brain fart of insecurity that you're talking nonsense?
Yes, as you're listening to it, the words come out of your mouth, you're like
blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I believe that that's the same. Also, another Kiwi Australian variation, sometimes people will be called a ranger.
Okay.
I presume as in ranger, but pronounced differently. And I find that one fascinating. It's such an aggressive sounding word. And I think it is usually used pejoratively.
Hmm.
So the next sense that OED has for this is a reddish yellow or orange brown colour, resembling that of dried and powdered ginger. So I started to think about, you know, as you say, when you think of redheads, personally, I think of that sort of carroty orange, really, really red, red hair.
Yeah.
But obviously there are many, many different shades of red hair. Yeah. And so when I had a look at this, I thought, well, powdered ginger isn't terribly ginger either. It's sort of pale brown.
Yeah.
So I did then wonder if that is as a result of the quality of the powdered ginger or the distance that it travels from that sort of original rhizome. But yeah, I don't have any definitive reason as to why this spice and its not terribly orange colours has come to be the name by which we refer to people with red hair. But it is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
This sense C of this particular definition is a cat with primarily orange coloured fur, typically marked with stripes, a ginger cat. So I do wonder if there's just been a little bit of a mashup of their hair is a little bit like the colour of ginger, even though it's not actually the same orange as an orange cat. There's something in common there with that hair colour and the orange cat, and that's called ginger. Therefore, they're all ginger now, ha!
Right, kind of
I don't know. Interesting.
I wonder if ginger has just changed colour in the way that carrots have changed colour.
I also wonder the same thing. Yeah, so carrots were purple, I think, originally.
Yeah, they were like orange
carrots.
And they
were bred to be orange.
Didn't come into fashion until the Dutch decided orange is our thing. Let's do orange now. So maybe,
but
I don't know.
The first recorded sense of using ginger to refer to someone's hair or to refer to it as a nickname for a redheaded person is from 1823. Although I do wonder if it does seem very late. So then we get a showy fast horse. A lovely quotation, 1825. If you want to splash along in glory with a ginger.
And who doesn't?
Well, indeed, I certainly do. We have ginger ale or ginger beer. And then, you know, always close to my heart, Scots colloquial, which I'd completely forgotten about because, well, what people forget about Scots is that although Scotland is a relatively small country, our language is huge. That's probably the same of anywhere. But I do find it very, very curious that as a Dundonian living on the east coast of Scotland, there are words and phrases that I know to be particular to the area of Scotland that I live in, so particular to my city. I can drive for 15 minutes into Fife, which is a little bit further north, and encounter people whose colloquial native Scots tongue is almost unintelligible to me.
Wow.
You know, so within such a small place, there are some really big differences between the words that we use and the way that we use them. So ginger in this sense is very much a west coast of Scotland habit. Okay. We don't talk about ginger in this way in Dundee. But in Glasgow, for example, a fizzy soft drink of any flavour is ginger.
Wow.
So if you want to send someone out to the shop, say, to buy some sort of fizzy soft drink, you'd say, get me a bottle of ginger.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, it's often kind of folk etymologised that this is because of Scotland's most famous, certainly best loved fizzy drink, Iron Brew.
Right.
Which is nuclear bright orange.
It's fantastically orange.
Nobody knows why, don't ask. It can literally, you can use it to stain clothes. Like you could use it to dye clothes orange easily.
Oh, I believe it.
I'm unhappy with Iron Brew currently because thanks to the Scottish government's the UK government's attempts to save us all from the evils of sugar,
right,
Iron Brew have changed their recipe. So now instead of tasting of delicious sugar, it tastes of disgusting sweeteners.
Oh, that's terrible.
And, yeah, you know, no one was ever drinking Iron Brew for good health.
No.
I was well aware that there was a ridiculous amount of sugar in it. I didn't drink it every day and brush my teeth with it. I would have it now and again as a sugary treat.
Because however, that's what it was.
Yeah, it's dead to me now because I hate the taste of sweeteners.
Oh, that's true. North America went through a similar debacle, and people I go to school with now, for instance, would have really no memory of this whatsoever. But in the 80s, when Coca-Cola decided to change and they brought out the new Coke, And they changed the recipe of like, hey, there's this thing that's worked for us for a century. You know what we should do? Just mess with it.
Change it.
And they brought the new Coke and everyone hated it. And that's why, at least for decades, Coke, like a can of just regular Coke was Coca-Cola Classic. It was to try to purge themselves of this debacle of the new Coke. So hopefully Iron Brew will go back. For people who aren't unfamiliar with Iron Brew, just a note for my fellow North Americans who may not have actually come across Iron Brew. To get your head around the color of Iron Brew, it's like the yellowish green of Mountain Dew.
If Mountain Dew mated with blood.
But make that an orange. So picture the intensity of Mountain Dew, make it orange, and then turn it up. And then you get like people should just carry, they should have like those bandoliers like Rambo has of all of his ammo with just bottles of Iron Brew instead of high-vis jackets.
Yeah, that would work.
Because you would see them forever.
Yeah. Iron Brew, you know, it's such a Scottish institution, and I really am a bit unhappy that they've changed it. They actually, it's just occurring to me just now that they introduced a sort of a fiery Iron Brew, which Ross and I instantly nicknamed Fire Brew. Because of course we did, and it tasted like Iron Brew plus ginger beer.
Oh.
Yeah, it was good. So ginger, a fizzy soft drink, regardless of whether it's bright orange or not, in the west coast of Glasgow,
right.
Ginger is, you know, any sort of fizzy juice. And then we come to the notion of being gingery, having a ginger temper, you know, temperament. So. Yeah. OED calls it spirit, pep, energy, or temper. Having a bit of ginger about you. Get your ginger up, that kind of thing.
Right.
It's such a very satisfying word to say, ginger.
It is.
And it's a shame that I'm doing it down by saying I wish it was zinger, and zinger, zinger, whatever. But yeah, they did well, but you know, they could have done a little bit better.
Yeah.
It was also, to continue, I told you this word just keeps on
it
giving.
It just keeps giving.
Yeah, it's an obsolete use. Start again and get that sentence in an order that makes some sort of sense. Gold dust was referred to as ginger. So the quotation given from 1887, every night the books are balanced before the men leave, the floor is swept, and should there be a discrepancy, the dust has to be picked over for ginger, such being the technical word for the missing morsels.
Oh,
so yeah, quite interesting. And then a usage that I did not in any way have any awareness of. Ginger slang, frequently derogatory and offensive, a homosexual man, short for ginger beer. I presume that this comes out of that sort of Cockney rhyming slang type tradition, and ginger beer and queer would be.
Right, yeah.
I presume it doesn't make specific reference to that.
I've never heard that before in my entire life. That's
interesting. No, I haven't either. So, yeah, we have red plumage on a bird.
Mm-hmm.
We have the hair colour, a cat, a group organisation that provides spirit or stimulus in a party or movement that presses for stronger or more radical policy or action, chiefly in ginger groups. I'd never heard of this either. And then at the bottom, my absolute favourite, and when you showed me the picture of the Salty Words book that you found, and I really hope we're going to hear some salty words soon.
Oh, yes.
This made me think of the salty words. So the last usage given in the OED before we get into compounds is by ginger, a mild expletive, probably a euphemism for by Jesus or by God, now rare.
Right. Not anymore. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say
ginger,
from now on.
By ginger, by gum, by George, that same ginger. Sort of thing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
There, by ginger. I meant to give the merest hint of a sentiment and I have gone splash into a moral.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So, surprisingly spicy, highly flavoured, delicious, versatile, both as a root, spice, and as a word.
That's fantastic. Ginger. There's another usage that I, like, when you said the, like, as in a temperament.
Mm.
It's interesting, I mean, maybe this is a regionalism, but have you, to do something gingerly.
Yes.
Is to do it kind of delicately. And with trepidation, almost like you take a bandage off gingerly, so as not.
I can't believe I didn't. I can't believe I didn't consider that meaning. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But it seems like it's the opposite. Like maybe, folk etymology alarms going off. I wonder if it's like if someone had a ginger attitude, they were prone to being excited or irritated. So you do something gingerly because you're doing it to avoid that.
Yeah,
but
perhaps.
It's just an interesting turnaround from.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so annoyed that I missed that. I'm busy having a wee look. Oh, do you know, it has a completely different etymological journey.
Well, that's fun.
I did a quick Google, and the top hit, I presume, is Wikipedia. So we have Latin genitus into Old French G-E-N-T, gent, jolt, I presume where we get gentleman from.
Yeah.
Graceful. Old French gensor, delicate, which eventually became in the early 16th century, gingerly, which they gloss as daintily or mincingly.
Oh, that's fantastic that it has nothing to do with ginger.
Nothing at all to do with the root or the spice. I'm so glad you brought that up.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I find it, cool. It's fun how much, like how finding a total lack of connection between two words that you really think should be connected can be almost as much fun as finding a connection that you didn't know was there.
Yeah, definitely.
One of my strongest memories of mentally playing with language in church as a kid is when my sort of best friend growing up and I were essentially asked to leave because he had leaned over to me at one point and said, "Hey, did you notice if you spell Jesus backwards, it kind of sounds like sausage?" And that's what we did for the rest of the time until we were escorted out. And so, yeah. And as you say, I've been going to church for my whole life. I have a master's degree in theology. And every now and then I still giggle about that.
I need to tell you, after what I was saying about Scott's spelling, that's so brilliant. You've just ruined Jesus for me in the best possible way.